Sharon, thank you. Roy. Whoa. Okay, breathe. That was just beautiful. Oh, wow. Well, so, it takes me a minute after that. Did all of you sort of like leave the room and go traveling around in the ethers? And for that, we are grateful. And that is so much a part of why we do come together as spiritual community to have these opportunities to be uplifted in those ways. Sharon, thank you again. So, as Terry had let you know, we are starting in a series called You Asked For It. And so most of the services through July and August, we're going to have some guest speakers also, and so they may be a little bit different topics, but we're going to be addressing questions that you have asked. So there was a question that was submitted by Ken Smith, and he was asking about what are simple ways, or how do you tune into or open up to your intuition? Or he also said about the third eye abilities in your everyday living. So I'm going to be talking about intuition and opening to that place in the heart of our being. The talk title for today is Listening with Our Mind, Our Heart, or both. So let's talk just a little bit about intuition and the third eye. In Eastern religions and in people who do energy practicing with the body, there are energy centers in their understanding and the flow of our bodies. And many of you might know that the third eye is actually located here, right between the eyebrows. And it is believed to be that center that's close to the pineal gland, that center of intuition, that center of tuning into a higher and greater sense than just our physical outer world, five senses. And so it invites us into a practice of shifting where we focus our attention in day-to-day living from just the reasoning parts of our brain, from empirical evidence, from past experiences. It allows us to shift to a different place. So I took this from a website, the chakras information opening third eye. It says a third eye chakra is an instrument to perceive the more subtle qualities of reality. It goes beyond the more physical senses. When we focus our mind and consciousness, we can see beyond the distractions and illusions that stand before us. And we can have more insight to live and create more deeply aligned with our highest good. So in unity, we talk about this also, this intuition as that place where we connect with higher source, with that which we might call God or divine being. It's a recognition that we are so much more than just our physical bodies. C. Joy Bell C., who is a spiritual author, she says, our bodies have five senses: touch, smell, taste, sight, hearing. But not to be overlooked are the senses of our souls: intuition, peace, foresight, trust, empathy. The differences between people lie in their use of these senses, these soul senses. And many of you are familiar with Madeleine L'Engle, who is famous for A Wrinkle in Time and some of the other books that she wrote. She says, don't try to comprehend with your mind. Your minds are very limited. Use your intuition. In Scripture, 1 Kings 3, 9, 11, and 12, Solomon is speaking with God, and he asks God, he says, so give your servant an understanding heart to discern between good and evil. Now, of course, this is a little bit more, it's an older verbiage. good and evil, to discern between things of the outer world that may have a skewed interpretation for us, that may be past beliefs that are no longer accurate, to determine between that and between a higher flow of pure energy. God said to him, because you have asked this thing, behold, I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and discerning heart. So what it's saying here is because you have asked, because you have chosen to step outside of the realm of that which is purely our physical world, because you have chosen to connect to that higher spiritual sense, that soul sense, you indeed are in touch with a wise and discerning heart. And from 1 Kings 4:29, it goes on to say, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. And say, I gave you a little bit of insight there, huh? Wisdom that goes beyond sand on the seashore. So friends, when we are engaging in this process of more fully recognizing and utilizing intuition in our lives, it begins to open up a whole new vista for us. And so I would just invite you to think for a moment. Have you ever had one of those times when you were about to do something and there was just something inside you that impelled you not to go in that direction, not to make that particular choice? Anybody want to share one? Yeah. You want to share? Do you want to share? You just had one. You know you've had one. So you listened. So I'm not sure if everyone was able to hear, but it was something that he would go with friends out every night to enjoy, and he was asked this one particular night, and he just said, no, I don't think so. It turned out that he might have been in an area where a murder or something quite drastic had taken place. And thanks, Teresa, because I'm going to need to kind of move on a little bit. I want to share something with you. Many of you are aware there's earthquakes in California. There's earthquakes everywhere, but they are in California. And usually the prevailing wisdom is to go and stand underneath a doorway, or, you know, because the structure's stronger there, supposedly. And I was in the Northridge quake in California, which was one of the most intense that they've had, 7.2. I was visiting with friends. We were in a spiritual workshop. And it happened, I don't know, around 3 or 4 in the morning. And all of a sudden, so my dear friend Pamela and I were in the same room, and everything starts going, and she said, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I kept saying, it's okay, it's okay. And she said, it's not okay, it's not okay. And I remember though just saying, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And we were both going to get up to try to get to the doorway. And there was something in me, I could not move. Now the first part of me later like went, well, what was wrong with you? You know better than that, right? Outer world, you know better than that. When more lights came on and we were aware, there were huge dressers that had fallen right in the path if we had gone to try to get into the doorway. And there wasn't, you know, there wasn't a rational part of my brain. There wasn't any part of that that was going on. And, you know, and I even beat myself up like, you didn't get up and get in the doorway. And yet there is that intuitive place inside of us that does guide us differently. And I'm sure in small instances, how many of you have lost your keys and said, okay, angels, or okay, higher spirit, show me where they're at? Any of you? Yeah. Or you've lost paperwork, or, you know, just one day you decide not to drive the same way that you always do. Now, you may never know why you chose to drive differently. And there are times when something tells me, you know, don't do that, and I don't see any visible result. Yet more often than I even realize, there are, and I notice being grateful, there are just these little tiny things time and time and time again in just the simplest aspects of life where I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'll do something and I don't, and there's a whole nother path that opens before me. And so, friends, when we start to take a look at our intuition into the heart of Godness within us, into the third eye or that higher sense, we are indeed transcending that knowledge that we feel is so very important and serves us, which is of this outer world, and we have to transcend to something different than that. Charles Fillmore writes, I've got a lot of Charles Fillmore on this. So he says in the 12 Powers of Man, Charles Fillmore says, we find there is in man a knowing capacity transcending intellectual knowledge. Now, you know, we do tend to go to what our brains tell us, and we think that gives us great information, and the truth is it does. So we don't want to discount that, and we want to be aware that there's something greater that we can tap into. One should give attention to this whispering of spirit in man. It is not of the intellect. It is the development in man of a greater capacity to know himself. The Bible gives many examples of the awakening of this brain of the heart in seers and lawgivers and in prophets. It is accredited as coming from the heart. Head knowledge must decrease as heart understanding increases. So this is what we're talking about with intuition. And in Keep It True Lent, Charles says, we have an intuitively correct idea of the truth on every question that comes to our minds. Think about that. But we do not trust the idea. We impede its free currents by believing that some book, something we read, some person or something has sifted through the truth and somehow established it, right? Do we not look to authority outside of ourselves? Now, this is not saying that there isn't wonderful wisdom available for us all around us all the time. And we can take that, we can partake of it, we can incorporate it into our being. And yet, ultimately, do we listen to our head, our intellect, or do we listen with our heart, with that place in us that goes to higher source that will guide us and then allow our minds, our intellect, to be the executor to take the steps forward from that higher wisdom? Jesus said, and this is from 12 Powers of Man from Charles Fillmore, Jesus said we should quicken our discernment. This wisdom of spirit is man's through the all-knowing and all-discerning power of spirit within him. And he need never fear going wrong if he listens to his divine intuition. And from Adam Smashing Power of Mind, Charles says, intellect and its plane of activity are not pure mind. They're not the pureness. They intellect results from belief systems, from past limitations that we've engaged in. He says wisdom is sadly lacking in the intellectual realm. So wisdom is that higher awareness than just intellect. Intellect has formulated its conclusions from the sense side of existence instead of from the spiritual side. So when we're taking a look at living our lives from that place where we are willing and open on a day-to-day basis to that kind of other voice that speaks in us, we're invited to just show up a little differently. How many of you heard of the term spidey sense? Yeah. So that's one that's been used. It's kind of, you just kind of know, don't you? You know, it's like, ooh, no, that gives me the creepy crawlies. That's not right. Whatever comes in. And like Al was saying, in doing some research, the military now is, and science is really exploring this process of understanding that there is a higher wisdom in our intuition. And they've done tests. They're doing results and are now teaching in the military the people to be more in tune and to make decisions in those snap places where they need to from that place of intuition. So friends, we are really moving as spiritual humanity into a greater awareness that this is not just woo-woo stuff, right? You know, we talk about spidey sense and it's kind of a fun word, but we think, well, you know, as I was speaking before, we don't always trust it, do we? So if we're going to be living, as Ken is asking, how do we do this, you know, in our day-to-day lives and going forward, if we're going to be living from that, then what do we do differently to begin to cultivate it? So it is a part of our everyday existence. So it is a part of, you know, how we participate, how we make decisions in the job, in the workplace, with our friends, in all the things that we do. Well, in unity, of course, from that spiritual perspective, I will refer to scripture from James 1, 5 through 6. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Now, you know, we are human, so we're going to doubt. So it isn't about, oh my gosh, slap my hand, I have to do this perfect. It isn't about that at all. But what it is saying is that practice is important. Choice is important. A willingness to listen differently, to engage first in that intuitive awareness, to turn to God source for that, and listen for that still small voice that, you know, sometimes you feel it right in your gut, right? You know, you just know. And as you work with it, you become aware of the difference in what the voices sound like, don't you? Because there's a place where the mind chatter's going, right? And we know that from the human place. Nan. It's bringing up all the pros and cons and all the stuff and blah, 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 right? Am I right? No. Yeah? Okay. With me? Okay, good. Okay. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of all of that, there's this little inkling. There's a sense. There's a depth of feeling that speaks differently. And if we begin cultivating that, that is cultivating that connection to God that is how we are connected into our intuition. So Carolyn Grigore, who is a senior writer for the Huffington Post, and they have some marvelous articles there, she talked about 10 things that people who are in touch with their intuition do differently. So in response to Ken's question of asking, how can we tune into this on a daily basis, I'll give you quickly these 10 things to just consider. First of all, people who are more in touch with their intuition, what they do differently is they listen. They listen to that inner voice. The number one thing that distinguishes intuitive people is that they listen to rather than ignore the guidance of their intuitions and gut feelings. Secondly, they take time for solitude. Just as solitude can give rise to creative thinking, it can also help to connect us to our deepest inner wisdom. You know, we say to take time apart, to go into the stillness. Now, that doesn't mean you have to, you know, sit in a little room. It can be taking a walk. It can be going out in nature. But take time to be away, to steal the chatter of the monkey mind, the human mind, the and to listen differently. They create. Creative people are highly intuitive, and just as you can increase your creativity through practice, you can boost your intuition through practice. So practicing mindfulness, being aware. So how many times do you write down when you had one of those little impulses? How many times do you really take time to notice and be aware? And give thanks and tune into, what did that feel like? How is that different? Be mindful. It also says that those people observe everything. They tune in. They kind of have their little feelers out. They listen to their bodies. Not like Nike. Not about just do it. No. It's about being mindful and listening, because our bodies tell us things, do they not? Whether we feel it in our gut, whether we have a tingling sensation, whether part of us says time for a nap, we say, oh no, I don't need a nap. I've only had 3 hours of sleep, but I'm fine. Listen to our bodies. It's important. It's vital. They connect deeply with others. They pay attention to their dreams. Pay attention to their dreams. They enjoy plenty of downtime. Few things stifle intuition as easily as constant busyness, multitasking, connectivity to digital devices, and stress and burnout. And last, they mindfully let go of negative emotions. There's a 2013 study published in the Journal of Psychological Science that showed that being in a positive mood boosted the ability to make intuitive judgments. So this is not saying that as at that human level that we do not at times experience a sense of negativity. It is, though, making a choice to shift as we are able in any moment into the core of our being, into the heart of our being, to understand that we listen first to that voice of God within us. We let go of the shore of outer sense understanding, and we listen first to that intuition, to that voice. And then we allow the executive ability of our intellect and our mind to guide us forward and what is ours to do. So I'll invite you in understanding that intuition and inner wisdom guide us in positive and insightful ways. Intuition and inner wisdom guide us in positive and insightful ways. Take time, friends. Take time to honor that still small voice within. Take time to relax and to be in tune with and to truly connect into to tap into spirit, to tap into greater wisdom, and to allow it to be what moves you forward in life. And I'll close with this quote from Albert Einstein, who was very much in tune with the intuitive. He says, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift. So let us remember to honor the gift, to first tune into our intuition and honor that, and then allow the reasoning, rational mind to be the servant, the executor, the doer of that intuitive wisdom and knowledge."